Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us this morning. Looking forward to your input. The dialogue and discussion is welcomed, invited. We always enjoy having you to call in and join in our discussion together. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the radio studios and right to our microphones so that we can have your input, your dialogue and discussion. I'm going to be talking about an issue today that is very, very serious and important for our city. We're talking about Drag Queen Story Hour in our Jacksonville libraries, Drag Queen Story Hours in our public libraries, publicly funded, taxpayer funded facilities for the sodomites to recruit our children. Before we get into that monologue and dialogue and discussion, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we face the issues each day, issues that I believe we should be passionate about, concerned about, interested, and involved in as Christians. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we can't just sit on the sideline. It's an impossibility for a child of God, for a Christian, to be in the world in which we're living in and to sit silent and watch what is taking place and do nothing, say nothing, and simply have the philosophy that that's a political issue, that's a social issue, that's an issue that does not touch on me just telling people about Jesus, so therefore I'll just not touch it, I'll leave it alone. That's simply a cop-out. It is unreal. It is unrealistic, biblically speaking. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus identifies truth. He says, thy word is truth. But ladies and gentlemen, truth is a word that I believe people are fleeing from today more than ever before. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place today. In fact, there's a church in, I've forgotten the city or state they're in, it's called Coventry Estates Baptist Church. They're under fire right now. They're under fire by the sodomite community because they simply put on their church marquee, says gradually the unthinkable becomes tolerable, then the acceptable becomes legal, and then praised. And as a result of them making that definitive statement, it's true. Listen to this again. Their marquee says gradually the unthinkable becomes tolerable, then acceptable, then legal, then praised. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the declension that we're seeing taking place today across America. And as a result of that, churches are being demeaned and dissed and persecuted and prosecuted because we take a stand. As we take a stand on truth, truth is simply being diminished today and being dissed, as the world calls it in that term. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we can go to the Word of God and face the truth and speak of the truth based on the authority of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that when we think about what is taking place today and that which is being viewed as unthinkable from the Christian perspective, and ladies and gentlemen, it hadn't been too many years ago that our churches, every denomination, across all denominational lines, were adamantly opposed to the sodomite movement because they realized, the churches, the denominations realized then, and I wish it were true today, that God's word speaks, and when God's word speaks, it's final, and that's the ultimate end of the story, whether we understand it or not. But there are those today that are trying to pick God's word apart and trying to determine that most conventions today, most denominational conventions are having great meetings where they have dialogue and discussion and have symposiums on what should we do about this modern culture and what's happening in the modern world with the ungluing of the fabric, the warp and the woof of society, morally and ethically and spiritually. And then they make the determination, well, we got to love everybody, and as a result of that, we've got to embrace the LGBTQ. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's no longer the LGBTQ, it's the LGBTQIP, and that I is intersex, and that P is for the pedophiles, because right now the pedophiles are pushing the LGBTQ community to be also identified as part of the movement. And that's the next stage in this push, ladies and gentlemen, to destroy the foundation of America and to destroy our kids in this process, to allow the sodomites to recruit them in these storytelling hours, the drag queen storytelling hours in our libraries being paid for by the public taxpayers. I believe we have a caller on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I just wanted to contemplate how we got where we are today. This Obergefell, whatever the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to allow for what they're calling homosexual marriage or gay marriage today, marriage between two of the same sex, that was under the Obama administration, but you have to step back a little bit to see how that happened. During the Clinton administration, they passed a federal law that was called the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, which identified federally the recognition only of marriage between one man and one woman. Well, a lot of Christians lauded that decision. You know, I was one that said, yeah, you know, that's appropriate. However, it's kind of not the role of the federal government to be in this business at all. But I know there's so many things at the federal level that they want to, you know, make sure it's harmonious from state to state. And, of course, you get into equal protection issues and such as that. However, that was a recognition of marriage as it has not only historically been known, but as it has always been known. You know, literally marriage is defined in the Bible, and you can go back and analyze culture after culture after culture. The root, the foundation is in the Bible. It's the foundation of society as well, you know, marriage and family. But think of it this way for just a moment. In the when Obama took office, he said, I will not defend the Defense of Marriage Act. One big problem there. Article 2 requires that the executive faithfully execute the laws. So he said, as soon as he came in and said he would not defend that act, he was saying, I will not carry out my oath of office. I will not carry out the duties of the President of the United States. But number two, that decision actually changed the definition of a word. Now, I don't believe that the foundation of this country and the development of the Constitution ever allowed any of the branches of the federal government or any government to redefine a word. I mean, this is a word very well known. Article 1 does not give the legislature the authority to redefine a word. Article 2 does not give the executive the authority to redefine a word. And Article 3 certainly does not give the judiciary the authority to redefine a word. So that is kind of it has truly, I believe you said it before, it has opened Pandora's box. When you just added the P to the LGBTQIAP, you could add two P's. I mean, once we've redefined marriage, shouldn't we allow group marriage? I mean, polygamists are being discriminated against, aren't they? Shouldn't we allow marriage between adults and children? I mean, pedophiles are being discriminated against. See how absurd it gets, and it gets there very, very, very quickly. Once you've abandoned a scriptural mandate, but once you've abandoned common sense and longstanding historical definition of a word, when you just redefine a word, it creates chaos.
Absolutely. What you've just said is that the absolute underpinning, the fundamental foundation of what we see taking place. Because let's face it, when you get to the term holy matrimony, or matrimony, you're talking about a biblical term, a biblical concept, a biblical fundamental foundation of the home that only God created. And we've taken that, and as you said, under William Jefferson Clinton, Slick Willie, under his leadership as the president, the DOMA, D-O-M-A, the Defense of Marriage Act, once you have a law that gives you a privilege of something, then that same law can be removed and take that privilege away. So in essence, what we've had to take place is that law going into effect, then taking the law or absolutely ignoring the law, as you said, under the Obama administration, then what they've done is said, we have just simply put God's word on the back burner, and we've made a law that says that you can't, we're going to protect marriage, one man, one woman, one lifetime, one commitment, if you please. We're going to remove that, so now Pandora's box is open, and everything is viewed as being in flux and is okay. Just as when Nancy Pelosi and the other socialists in Washington, out of 240 votes in the House, they passed House Bill 5, and under House Bill 5, it is called the Equality Act, and the Equality Act is written specifically for, and in my most humble opinion, part of the script and the writing of that was by the sodomite community, better known as the LGBTQIP group today. And as you just a moment ago said, if we continue with that acronym, LGBTQIP, and you could go on and on and on with the groups now that are pushing to be identified and recognized in that juggernaut movement across America to destroy our homes, to destroy our families, to destroy the integrity of the Word of God. House Bill 5, ladies and gentlemen, for your edification, if you're not familiar with it, called the Equality Act, will make our First Amendment, the freedom of religion and the freedom of religious speech, will absolutely destroy, eviscerate that freedom and our First Amendment. The freedom to stand and speak in the pulpit, the freedom to stand and speak as a Christian, just as we're doing now, will absolutely be viewed as hate speech if this passes. It's now Senate Bill 788. 46 senators already on board with it. If that ultimately passes, and if there's any way that it ever gets signed into law, then we will be destroyed as a Christian nation and as a church. And don't you dare be fooled, ladies and gentlemen, don't you dare be deceived into believing that somehow, some way you can put a socialist Democrat in office for president, and these things will be ushered in as opening Pandora's box and destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America today. Greg, what do you think about the fact, though, notwithstanding all of this being bad enough and immoral enough, and the scripture is very clear in Psalms 127, verse 3, that our children are a heritage from the Lord. What is your thought? What is your input in relationship to what we see taking place in Jacksonville, Florida? By the way, it's been taking place across America. And it's been one of those things that's been silent. The media's not said anything about it. Of course, the media's not going to say anything about it. But the drag queen hour has been taking place now for almost 2 years in America. It originated out in San Francisco, the part of the land of the fruits and the nuts, and especially in Sodomitesville, America, called San Francisco, the domicile of Nancy Pelosi, her, if you please, headquarters and her domain. But it has as a juggernaut across America today, and now we're finding it coming to the forefront in Jacksonville, Florida. But even in Jacksonville, this is not the first time. It's been happening for over a year in Jacksonville, where these drag queens, i.e. the sodomite people, are coming out of the shadows, out of the closet, out of the darkness, and into the light, and basically in your face, recruiting our sons and daughters and grandkids with taxpayer-funded venues. What should be the response of our listeners today?
Well, it's interesting you said that. It's a recruiting methodology within that community. It's very clear and apparent to any a casual observer. But step back again, and the communication decades back was a plea for tolerance. Always a plea for tolerance. We hear that out of two communities oftentimes, the Islamic community and the LGBTQIAPP. We get it out of these groups, and it's, again, the plea for tolerance, but truly, as you fast forward into today, they would like for their all other ideologies to be subservient to theirs, that your First Amendment rights to free speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, all these things, to be subservient to them. I say that with substantial authority, in that we become Christians, decent people, oftentimes become second-class citizens when you create a protected class that covers a particular sin. I mean, I don't know that we have a group out there that are a group of adulterers, similar category, It's fornication in the scripture. I don't think we have a group of adulterers out there saying, not only do we want to conduct our activity, but we would like to squelch your voice. We would like for you not to say that that is wrong. No, matter of fact, we want to have a legal sanction against you if you say that that is wrong or speak anything ill of adultery. But it is taking place on the other side. And consider this, as they've had different parades, it has not bordered on. It has been pornographic many times. Individuals running around naked. Individuals running around fully exposing themselves in front of not only adults but children, minors that heretofore we would have arrested people and said, you know, that's indecent exposure. We would say, you know, that's contributing to the delinquency of a minor. We would have a series of different charges that would be potentially associated with running around naked in front of people. However, today cities are issuing permits for parades, and then they allow that to take place. Could any other group go and do those things and not only, you know, be permitted to do it, but be praised for doing it and not being in any way sanctioned for having done it?
Greg, you're saying that, it brings to mind that many times, for example, now, in our public libraries and in the public venues and under the auspices of governmental authority and permission, if this were taking place on a national basis or in the city of Jacksonville or any other place in America today, where we're going to have a parade, where we're going to have Jesus' story, and we're going to have the cross, we're going to have the Bible and prayer and pledge to the flag, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That would be so, we would be told, no, that's governmental endorsement of that. These libraries are not open for us to have a Jesus story or to have a Bible story. In fact, in most of our public schools, you can't even have a Christian Bible club because it's supposed to be something that makes others feel badly about themselves, and it's not allowed. This church sign that I'm looking at in my hand, Coventry Estates Baptist Church, says, gradually, the unthinkable becomes tolerable, then acceptable, then legal, and then praised. And that's the declension that we're watching today with these drag queen storytelling hours. Here's what Tim Wildham, president of the American Family Association, says. Says, homosexuality, it's unnatural, unhealthy, and immoral behavior. We hope that the president will continue to stand firm against the so-called Equality Act and any legislation that threatens religious freedom. Such legislation will use the full force of the federal government to punish Americans who do not embrace the LGBTQI political agenda. And that's exactly where we see it. In fact, here's an article, Greg, and for our listeners' edification. Title of the article says, the LGBTQ juggernaut, colon. Then the article headline further says, time for Christians to face our failure. In this article, further down on its five pages, says LGBTQ activists will demand access to children through our school curricula. They will insist upon the right to groom them and coax them into identifying as gay or trans. In essence, they lay claim to the right to prepare them, that's our children, for their future sex partners. They will force people to experiment with gay sex to remain in the gay sex pool, P-O-O-L, via laws that ban any counseling to help them leave that lifestyle. Further, the article says, the Equality Act will force everyone to lie. We'll have to tell innocent children that they have two daddies when they do not. Then we will have to tell them and confess to them that teenagers, that they are girls rather than boys. We will have to tell miserable and suicidal homosexuals that they are unhappy. Their unhappy drives from external homophobics and not from their cause. The solution to their unhappiness would actually be to stop engaging in homosexuality, pursue the normal heterosexual lifestyle, end quote. And that is exactly where we are. And I am concerned, ladies and gentlemen, for what we see taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're on the telephone today talking with Greg Youngblood. Greg is one of our sons. Greg holds an earned degree in ecclesiastical jurisprudence and is very, very knowledgeable of much of what we would call constitutional law and where we stand on that issue. Greg, what would be the remedial action that I believe I would like to see Christians in Jacksonville and conservatives in our city, what would be the remedial action that should be taken in relationship to this? Is it legal? Would you consider it constitutionally legal for taxpayers to fund our public libraries and then the public libraries be allowing this to take place, which seems to me, it smacks to me, it has the sound to me that it's governmental endorsement of the sodomite lifestyle and the recruitment of our sons and daughters and grandkids into the sodomite lifestyle?
Well, first, I would address the recruitment issue, and it's something, you know, for some time individuals participating in those activities have said, and matter of fact, this Mayor Pete has said this recently, you know, in castigating our vice president on without warrant. I mean, this fellow has over and over attacked Mike Pence, but Mayor Pete was saying something like, you know, I was born this way. You know, this was something that a decision that was made far above my pay grade. And I've heard that a lot, that I'm born this way. This is genetic. This is part of my DNA. And I'd like to argue that just a little bit. If you take 100 homosexuals and place them on an island and leave them there for 100 years and come back, you will find zero homosexuals. You know, assuming they were, I mean, you're not going to see them living to 120 years old, let's say, because they can't procreate. Okay, so genetically that washes out. And by the way, studies have been done, twin studies, where individuals are genetically identical twins and one is homosexual and the other is not, and that is very commonly the case. One is and one isn't. If they were genetically identical, or and they are genetically identical, if it's in your DNA, they would both be homosexual, they would both be straight. That just plays out normally, naturally. So the studies have been done, but let's move forward a little bit. And on the recruitment side, they have this group has weaseled its way into the Boy Scouts of America. Now, the Boy Scouts of America had a problem with homosexual aggressors long, long, long before it was said okay that they could join the ranks, long, long before they were allowed in leadership. They had a problem. For decades, they kept things undercover. They were called the perversion files. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens, hundreds and hundreds of cases of assaults on young men in the Boy Scouts. Now, those individuals were pedophiles, but they were homosexuals first. They were males preying upon males. And people need to understand that. They were males preying upon males. Within the Catholic Church, what was called the pedophile priesthood, those were males preying upon males. They were homosexuals first, pedophiles second, but the homosexuality unbridled led to the other. There's a fellow, Milo Yiannopoulos, that a lot of folks know. He admits as part of his story he was abused by a priest at a young age. He's a homosexual today, engaged in a homosexual lifestyle. Let's, you know, express it clearly. These individuals are recruiting. They're recruiting in the libraries, they're recruiting in the schools, they're recruiting in the Boy Scouts, they're recruiting in because that's the way they grow their numbers. I believe there's some folks that may be born with a predisposition toward that activity, but I believe also individuals are oftentimes recruited in so that that first experience sexually is with a person of the same sex, and then it truly changes the individual's mind, their view of the their life, their culture, their society, their view of sex, their proper or then improper view of sexual relations. So I believe this is a recruiting tool, and I believe from a cultural standpoint, the local government bodies have the greatest ability to deal with the morals and values within their community, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Obviously, the state has laws against public nudity, and actually they have public nudity, public profanity. A lot of public indecency things are already on statute, state by state by state. Florida calls them statutes. So those things should be, can be, and should be enforced. However, somehow or another, there's a pass given when we're dealing with individuals that, oh my goodness, isn't it interesting from a biblical standpoint that individuals that are involved in the homosexual lifestyle, that's a sinful activity, but pride is also a sin, and they couple the two of those together, and they have their LGBT pride, their gay pride parades, and you go, you're absolutely thumbing your nose at God in the midst of what you're doing, and then you put a rainbow on it. You go, you know, that rainbow came about the last time God judged this world for its filthiness, its nastiness, its absolutely being filled with sin. I don't know
Yes.
how much more. I don't know how much more one can thumb their nose at God and dare God to bring judgment.
Yes. In fact, I'm looking at one of the flyers that was put out by the LGBTQP group in Jacksonville, and it's soliciting for this drag queen story hour that will be tomorrow. And it says the folder, the brochure, or the banner says, the storybook Pride Prom. And it says from ages, they're inviting, listen now, the invitations to those 14 to 18 years of age. It will be at the Willowbrook Public Library, 2875 Park Street, according to this article. It says you're invited to create your own happy ever after at the Storybook Pride Prom. The event will be on Friday, June the 28th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Willowbrook Branch Library in Riverside. Come dressed, inspired in your favorite book character, casual, formal, or in drag. Whatever makes you feel great, just be you. BB Deluxe will be making the guest appearance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bring a date. Come solo. Come with a friend. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the dancing, the refreshment, and the selfie station, and more, 14 to 18 years old age group. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not allow our tax dollars to fund the immoral, ungodly, unholy, sodomite recruitment of our children here in the city of Jacksonville. Greg, let me take a moment and share with our listeners today what they can do to become activists involved in this. I would like to see our listeners, everyone get on the telephone. Call Lenny Curry, Mayor Lenny Curry. His telephone number is 255-5000. 255-5000, and ask Lenny Curry as mayor to stop this action that's going to destroy the kids in Jacksonville. Or you can call City Council, 630-1377, 630-1377, get you through the City Council office, talk with your individual City Council member, or just in general, all the City Council, and say, no, we will not allow the demonic control of our kids in the city of Jacksonville. Or better yet, call Chris Bowen. That's CHRS Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N, which is the public library, public relations director. That telephone number is 630-7595. 630-7595 gets you through to Chris Bowman, which is the public library, public relations director. And these folks, ladies and gentlemen, need to be put on the spot and understand that as Christians, as conservatives, as churches, we're going to say no. And if that's not enough, we have the power at the ballot box to change this dynamic, and we ought to do so, ladies and gentlemen, because this is going to be destructive for our sons and daughters in the city of Jacksonville. This drag queen story hour will destroy the lives and the hearts and the minds of our kids. And the Bible says that our children are an heritage from the Lord. Greg, here's an article that I've got in my hand. It says, drag queen story time, educational or harmful. And it goes on to talk about a man in Houston, Texas. His name is Tex Christopher. He opposes drag queen story time. He's suing the officials in the libraries and in the leadership and the political leadership there. He's suing, hoping to stop the program in the allowing governmental facilities nationwide. Christopher says his lawsuit questions whether the drag queen story time is constitutional at all, given that it takes place in a publicly funded, taxpayer-funded facility. And that's the bottom line of my concern with that, is that they won't allow Christian organizations, Christian concepts, Christian ministries to do so because it says it's the separation of church and state. But they're allowing this to take place on a national level, and it's been going on like a juggernaut across our states, and it is taking place right now at the Thomas G. Carpenter Library, the LGBTQ Resources Center, the Drag Queen Story Hour on the campus of the University of North Florida. So it's happening all over the city of Jacksonville, and it's coming to the forefront now. Greg, let me let you just wrap us up. We've got about a minute left. Talk to our listeners today as to what we need to do, what we should do, and stop being silent, sit up, and stand up, speak up, and let our city council, our city officials know that we won't tolerate this, and especially issuing Greg the thought about the constitutional separation of church and state, as it's so-called, by the governmental agencies. They want that when it's Christian involvement, but they do not acknowledge that when it's using God's taxpayer dollars out of Christian taxpayers' pockets to fund this demonic activity that's recruiting our sons and daughters.
Well, folks need to realize that the separation of church and state that folks talk about, that was a letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists. He was making sure that they understood that government cannot engage or control your church, license your church, regulate your church, what's being preached from the pulpit, or what the Christian carries into the community. If there's a separation, that separation is keeping government out of what the body of Christ should engage in. Now, the body of Christ has no prohibition. You have the same freedom, the same authority. Matter of fact, your freedom of speech and freedom of religion are expressly protected in that First Amendment. And government's position is to protect to secure our rights and defend our rights. Now, you know, you articulated a few points. Make phone calls. Absolutely. Folks that believe they can engage in litigation, that's fine. More power to you. Go and do that. Takes a lot of time, takes a lot of money. But for the everyday believer, pray for our leaders, as required in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, 4, whatever. But also, you can go down, show up at the event, print off Genesis chapter 19. Print it off, maybe even put a cross on the back of it, and maybe offer those to folks that are sitting around for this story time so they can read another story. So they can read the story of how God responded to these things.
Yes, and the way God responded to it, Greg, was simply he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities wiped out with fire from heaven as a result of the Sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a serious issue. We must face that issue and stand up, speak up, be salt and light. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.